From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, and it's a joy to have you on with us today, Life Change Weekend. On the back of the flylever of the cover of the book that I wrote on the beginning, it says, "A man who gathers 12 apparent misfits of society and leads them while he teaches, heals, delivers evil spirits, and raises some from the dead is certainly unique. Is he one of the many self-proclaimed Messiah, or is he different? Well, the fact is that person was Jesus Christ. That faith that this man founded today represents, well, nearly one-third of the world's population. I'm not saying they're all born again, but many, many people say they're followers of Christ. And he came the first time, that was a couple thousand years ago. He's often spoken about today, but the interesting thing is he is coming again. And last week we had our good friend, Pastor Bob Kadlecic from Montrose, Pennsylvania. And we wanted to pick up on the same theme that he had last week. And Pastor Bob, first of all, let me just thank you for being back on with us again today.
Well, it's great to be with you and all your listeners.
The sixth event that you were talking about in Matthew 25 and 26, we kind of wanted to get back to that a little bit and tell us what that event was from the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 25 and 26.
I think it's Matthew 24, the part, but he does go on in 25 as well. Yeah, the five we already talked about last time was they have all been either fulfilled or are very close to being fulfilled right now. But the sixth one, it's in verse 15. It says, "So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand." So that's kind of a heavy one for most people, because he's quoting for what would be to many of us a very obscure Old Testament passage in Daniel. But any Jew alive during Jesus's day knew exactly what Jesus was referring to. Daniel 11 predicts and describes the reigns of four Persian kings and then the rise of Greece under Alexander the Great and various rulers after him in a fractured Greek empire. And one of the last of those rulers was Antiochus Epiphanes, who conquers Israel. And he conquers Israel in 168 BC, which is about 200 years before Jesus was talking to his disciples here in Matthew 24. And Antiochus took a pig, and as many people know, pigs are religiously and culturally unclean to Jews. So to eat a pig would be like us eating a rat, you know? And so Antiochus went into the Holy of Holies in the temple and sacrificed a pig to Zeus because he hated the Jews so much. And that was the abomination that Daniel predicted. The desolation, the abomination that causes desolation, was what followed. And that was when Antiochus went on to torture and kill over 80,000 Jewish men, women, and children, sold at least 40,000 more into slavery, and any practice of Judaism was outlawed. If a baby boy was found to be circumcised, he and his mother were thrown to their deaths off the wall around Jerusalem. And so it was a horrible time. And if you would have asked the disciples or any Jew in Jesus's day, what was the most devastating and humiliating event in Jewish history in the last 500 years? They would all say, the abomination that caused desolation. Antiochus Epiphanes was the Hitler of that time period. But here we have Jesus saying something that would have surprised his disciples. He's saying, the abomination that causes desolation is still to come. Before Jesus returns, he's saying there's going to be a similar defilement of a Jewish or Christian holy place. And this is actually a common characteristic of Bible prophecy. Sorry, we're jumping into the deep end really fast here. But it's called a double fulfillment. Many times when God predicts something far into the future, he has a fulfillment of that prophecy closer to the time it's given in order to prove that the later complete fulfillment is actually going to happen. And so this is true of the prophecy of Daniel, because Jesus says in Matthew 24:21, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." As bad as things were under Antiochus Epiphanes, no one would describe that time as a great distress, unequaled from the beginning till now. In fact, some say this abomination that causes desolation that Jesus predicted was happened in 70 AD, about 30 years after Jesus makes this prediction, when the Temple of Jerusalem is destroyed, 500,000 Jews are slaughtered by the Roman general Titus. But again, you can't really believe, as awful as that was, that the destruction of the temple in 70 AD could be described as what Jesus describes it as: great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Clearly, Jesus is referring to a time still in the future during, I think, the great tribulation that will happen before he returns. So there is no event that needs to happen before the rapture of the church, but before the end of the tribulation and the return of Jesus, this is one of those things that hasn't happened yet that still does need to happen.
Yeah, the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, a great passage, and thank you for pointing that out. And that is a very unique story that you're bringing our attention to, the abomination of desolation. Pastor Bob, as we think about this and we think about our Christian life, and we recognize that these things are coming to pass in the future, what would you suggest to our listeners about how we should live out our lives?
Yeah, you know, sometimes people hear about the tribulation and things like that, and their response is to stock up on water, non-perishable food, and ammo, you know, and make a fallout shelter. And that is not, I mean, never does Jesus say, this is how you need to respond to this. Our response really should be to tell our friends and family about Jesus. I mean, I don't want to go through the tribulation, and I want to take as many people with me out of the tribulation. There's a verse that's on my wall now, John 9:4. It's Jesus, and he says, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." I remember in 2000, I visited Pastor Peter Radoslava in Odessa, Ukraine, and he had survived the persecution of, you know, the Russian socialist government for generations. And in 1990, all of a sudden, they were free. And he said, for 10 years now, we've had an open window, and we must tell people now because we don't know how long it will stay open. Well, I thought back in 1990, like, boy, the Soviet Empire, it's gone. Like, it's not coming back. Like, you have your whole lifetime. But now with, you know, what transpired in Ukraine with Russia's invasion, I realize he was exactly right. And we don't know how long we have till Jesus returns, till things change in our nation. And we need to take every opportunity we can to follow Jesus and to bring as many people with us to follow Jesus as well.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were sharing that, Pastor Bob, just recently a couple came to me and they wanted to get married and wanted to know if I could help them with that. And I remember sitting there talking to them and asking them both questions about salvation and how they can know that they're a child of God. And both of them admitted that they really had never trusted the Lord. And the young lady said, you know, I'm really, really worried about what's going on in the world, and I really want to know about this. And all of a sudden, that issue about their wedding was laid to a side, and they both came to Christ. And I think God brings people in our path like that that we need to be aware of. And so I appreciate you saying that, because at the end of the day, that is what really is important. Now, let's talk about that word rapture. I don't find that in the Bible, nor do you. And we talk about rapture so often. It comes from a Latin word, rapturo. Tell us about the rapture and why Christians believe in a rapture. We often hear people talking about rapture and Armageddon, those kind of terms. Armageddon is in the Bible, but rapture isn't. So help us with that a little bit.
you're right. The Bible, used for about 1,000+ years in most of Christianity, was the Latin Vulgate, the Latin Bible. And that's where in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, "We who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them," the resurrected dead, "in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And that phrase "caught up," it comes from that Latin word raptura, or a Greek word just that kind of means to kidnap. And yeah. So rapture is just a better word than the great kidnapping of the church by Jesus. And there's lots of words like Trinity that are never used in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that what the word represents, a three-person Godhead, isn't taught many places in the Bible. And so 1 Thessalonians 4:17 is maybe the clearest place where it talks about that, where we who are alive and remain, right, will be caught up with those who have died and will be resurrected to meet Jesus in the air. You know, most of the Bible, I do want to say, I mean, that's what we believe, that's what I believe is true. That's what you believe is going to happen first before the tribulation. But most of the Bible is not up to your individual interpretation. When it says Jesus rose bodily from the dead, it's clear what that means. There's no discussion about, yes, he really rose from the dead. But the teachings about the future are more difficult and nuanced, and there is quite a bit of interpretation. And so godly people can disagree on the particulars of what 1 Thessalonians 4 means. Like, when will that happen? Will that be after the tribulation? Is it going to be after the millennium or before? But I think the one thing that everyone who believes the Bible agrees on is Jesus is coming back, the dead will be resurrected, and the living will meet him for reward and judgment. The particulars are sometimes argued, but I think everybody does believe that at some point there will be a kidnapping. There will be the meeting of the church with the Lord.
Tell you a funny story, Pastor Bob. I was at my daughter's house the other night. There were three of us there, three men talking in the living room. And it was late at night. One of them was my son-in-law, Scott. Another one was a neighbor named Mario. His wife is an attorney for us in our ministry. And then I was sitting there, and my son-in-law fell asleep while Mario was talking. He was waxing eloquent about the future and things were going to come off in the future. And then I fell asleep, and somebody took a picture, and evidently Mario got up and he walked away. And it looked like he got raptured out of there, and there we were left. But it's probably as quick as that when you think about it. Now, the scripture also says, Pastor Bob, that the dead rise at the return or the rapture. But we also say that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better. So how does that work out in when we think about that? Do we go to be with the Lord, or are we in the grave, kind of soul sleeping? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I get that question sometimes, even at funerals, where people say, you know, I thought when we die, we go to heaven. But then 1 Thessalonians 4, which I often read at the graveside, says that, you know, they're going to be resurrected from their graves. And so, yeah, the Bible clearly teaches 2 Corinthians 5:8. Says, absent from the body is present with the Lord, or another translation, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. There's no third place. You're either in your body, or after you die, you're at home with the Lord if you're a believer. There's also even the parable of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16:19-31. Jesus, in telling that parable, one of the interesting things about, you know, when Lazarus dies, he immediately is in heaven. There's no wait or anything like that. And unique thing about Jesus's parable of Lazarus and the rich man is that in none of his other parables does he ever mention a character's name. So all his parables are always like a woman lost a coin, a shepherd lost a sheep, a father had two sons, a Samaritan, a master, and servants. When Jesus tells parables, the characters never get names, except for this one parable. Lazarus has a name. And because of that, some believe it's not a parable at all, but it actually happened. And what happens is, when Lazarus dies, immediately his spirit is in heaven with Abraham and with God. And so when a loved one who knows the Lord dies, their spirit goes to heaven. But none of us get that perfect new body until the rapture, until the resurrection, as 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about it.
It's a wonderful idea, though, isn't it, when we stop and think about being present with the Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with Him. I'm sure you have, as I have many a time, been at the graveside of individuals who that has been great comfort to them, but also watching some people die, knowing that there was that sense of a peace that all of a sudden came over them. It's a wonderful promise from God's Word, and thank you for sharing that, Pastor Bob. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. Thank you for listening in today. This is Dino Padrone speaking to you from Padrone Ministry and the Foundation. Many of you know that we started an online college. You can go to DinoPadroneMinistries.com and simply go and find there the Ministry College with all of the information on our webpage. We'd be delighted to have you consider enrolling. It's an online school. We call it a school without walls. We plan on keeping it that way. And we're looking forward to the continuing of many of you studying the Word of God. We're glad for the enrollment we have in the second semester. And we encourage you to go online. If you are interested in being a mentor in a school like that, if you want to fill out that application, you can go to, again, DinoPadroneMinistries.com and go to the Ministry College and then simply go to where it says mentor, read the responsibilities and requirements. If you have an interest in that, fill out the application and send it on in to our team. We're talking today with Pastor Bob Kadlecic, who's a regular on our program on the weekends, and we're talking about the idea of Christ coming again. This is part two, really, of something we began last week. I don't think we thought of it as part two, but because we had so much wonderful information and need to continue this week, we are doing so. Sometimes, Pastor Bob, people say that when individuals die, they become angels. You know, sometimes I've looked at little children and they're standing around me and we're talking, and then somebody will say, or I'll say, that they're just like an angel. They're so cute. And we have this different idea of what angels look like and what they really are. So do people actually die and become angels? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I hear this a lot at funerals as well, where people get up and, oh, now Uncle John is an angel looking over me. And I don't know where that comes from. Maybe Matthew 22, Jesus talks about when we're resurrected, we won't be married or get married. And in that way, Jesus says we will be like angels, but we won't actually become angels. We won't get wings. We instead will have a body like Jesus's resurrected body. And Philippians 3:20, I think, says it the clearest. It says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his own control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. So we won't have angel-like bodies. We will have Jesus-like bodies, which I think is even better. And 1 John 3:2 reinforces this and says, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. And so that's just a great promise. And I think it's an even better one than what people sometimes say in that a loved one, you know, became an angel.
Yeah, that's good. It's the biblical truth of what Christ teaches us. I so often think about Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, let's think here a little bit about the tribulation. Revelation, you know, the first three chapters deal with the church. There's a heavenly scene, chapter 4 and 5. And then much of Revelation 6 through 18 deals with the tribulation. And some people have the idea that Christians are really looking forward to the end of time, the last days, because of their love for Israel. How do you look at all of those things, Pastor Bob? We have about 4 or 5 minutes left to go here on the program today.
Yeah, I have heard, like, especially from secular media, things that the charge that Christians only love Israel because they want to bring about the end of the world, which sounds so sinister, you know, like we're some doomsday cult. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, the Bible teaches that the end of the world means the end of suffering, the end of evil, the beginning of a world that's so much better. I mean, who wouldn't want that? But even beyond that, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. So we should love the world, and the world includes Israel. Even more than that, the Bible, I think, is clear that God has a special love for Israel and the Jewish people. And I think that means we should have a special love for Israel and the Jews. And it's not really about the end of the world at all. The truth is, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is a Jew. And all 12 of his disciples were Jews. And the Bible was written almost entirely by Jews. And so we have lots of reasons to love Israel and the Jewish people, and none of them bring about the end of the world. And I think we live in a world that is increasingly anti-Semitic, just hatred toward the Jewish people. And as Christians, I think we need to be different and recognize that, you know, God in Revelation does deal with the Jews again in a good way, in a loving way, to bring about all the promises that he has given to them.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Just a few minutes left to go here, Pastor Bob. You talked last week about the various views of millennialism, the amillennial position, the postmillennial position, the premillennial position. We have pre-wrath, rapture, prior to the tribulation, pre-trib, mid-trib, all of these various views. And here's a person going to church, and they may have a certain view, or maybe they're even confused a little bit about a certain view, but maybe the pastor teaches something about the future that's different than what they're used to. What do you suggest to a member in a church where there's a different future view, at least in some way, from the pulpit or from the leadership of the church? Should they leave the church? Should they stay in the church? Should they pray about? What do you suggest that they do?
Yeah, I think some of that depends on what other churches are around, you know, to be a part of. And I'm reminded when I was in seminary, my favorite professor, Dr. Jim King, he was once a missionary in the Chad. There's a great book, Buried Alive for Christ, which talks about the martyrdom of believers in that country. And so he came into that country shortly after that period of intense persecution. And he was teaching pastors who were there the Bible. And one of the students raised his hand during a class, and that was very unusual. They were very quiet, very subdued, just soak in teaching and not be very interactive generally. And so he was shocked and said, yes, you know, what do you want to say? And that pastor, and who had gone through persecution, said, so what you're telling us, these are things you're saying we should be willing to die for. And Dr. Jim King at that point was just taken back and just panicked and thought, what was I just teaching, you know? And looked at his notes and realized, yes, actually, these are fundamental, important doctrines of the faith that I would die for. And he said, yes, we should die for the, be willing to die for this. And you know, different views of the end times, I'm not willing to die for them.
Right.
If someone put a gun to my head and said, you know, I promise to not preach, you know, pre-tribulational rapture ever again, I think I'd say, I'm good with that. You know, I'm not going to die. But if they put a gun to my head and say, you have to promise to never teach that Jesus is coming back, I would say, well, that you'll have to pull the trigger, because I'm not going to stop telling people that. That's clearly in God's word. That's our hope. So in a church, you know, if there's no other good gospel preaching, gospel living church in your area, I would say, yeah, put this aside and just join in, because it's definitely not something I would die for.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. This has been a good 2 weeks on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the world we're living in today, this is a very important topic. Thanks for listening in to Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padrone. Thank you for listening in. And you know, when you look for the coming of Christ, it really does produce life change within us. And thank God for the fact that Christ changes our lives.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padrone Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.